Are two moms better than one mom and a dad? The U.S. National Longitudinal Lesbian Family Study has been published this week in the journal Pediatrics. It's the longest study of lesbian mothers and their children ever conducted in the United States. It's based on just 78 kids who were all born to lesbian couples through donor insemination and who were interviewed at two different ages, most recently age 17. Turns out these kids outscore their peers on academic and social tests and have fewer difficulties with aggressive behavior and rule breaking. So the question we ask is there an advantage to lesbian couples having children and raising them? And what would be the reasons for that? Or is the study not sufficient to really determine how lesbian versus heterosexual couples parent? Dr. Nanette Gartrell is the principal investigator. She is also a scholar at UCLA School of Law and is an associate clinical professor of psychiatry at UC San Francisco School of Medicine. Dr. Gartrell, good to have you with us on Air Talk.
Thank you for having me.
So share with us just a little bit more about the study. How did you get the conclusions? Is this largely based on interviews with the kids themselves, or were there some sort of test that they took to determine how well adjusted they were?
Well, this is a study that began in 1986 in the era of pencil and paper research before computers were available to everyone and the internet certainly. And I have been following the first generation of children who were conceived by donor insemination in what's called planned lesbian families, where the mothers were out as lesbian before they conceived these children. And it's a study where I gathered participants in several regions of the United States and have been following them for the last 24 years. The most recent data was gathered when these adolescents were 17 years old, and we completed the data gathering for that just a year ago, and we've been analyzing the data, and this Monday our first report was published in the journal Pediatrics. And in this report, what we did was we compared on a standardized test of psychological adjustment in which the parents, and in this case we used, since we had only mothers in our population, we compared them to just the mother reports in the normative sample, where the mothers rate their children's behavior on over 100 items. They're asked, does your child do this, does your child do that, does your child do this, that, and so on. So they yes, no, and give more details when asked. Those results are tabulated, then they're analyzed, and then they're compared with the normative sample, who were exactly the same age and very close in socioeconomic status in terms of the family configuration of the normative sample. In fact, the normative sample was slightly higher in socioeconomic status, but for research purposes, essentially the same. And what we found was that the children reared in the lesbian families scored higher on some competencies and lower on some problems. Now, we do not conclude that that makes lesbians better parents. What we conclude is that in this sample, these children do well, and we have some interesting questions to ask about why.
Well, and I just wonder, though, in terms of the data that you're collecting, could it be that with lesbian parents, that you know, because they know, in a sense, that you know, they're being looked at because they're in the minority, that there could be an overstatement of the positive outcomes with their kids because of that sense of being under scrutiny compared to heterosexual couples, so that you're not really getting an objective analysis between the two groups?
That's always a very interesting question, and because this study has such depth, since I've been following the same families for 24 years, what I can say, and we've reported on this in previous publications, and I am a psychiatrist, so I'm very attuned to the issue of veracity in reporting and honesty in reporting, the mothers were not at all hesitant to talk about the hardships that they experienced in their families, in their lives, in rearing children, in their relationships, along with the joys and everyday realities. So these are families like every other family. Some of the mothers have gotten cancer. Some have died. Some have take care of ill family members. Families of origin, the families encounter discrimination. They have so many things that they deal with. Like every family has issues that they deal with, and we heard about the hardships as well as the joys and the realities of life. And when we look through these reports, we do not see any evidence that the mothers checked yes, 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 great, great, great throughout the report. Obviously would be suspect of that.
So you don't feel like they're downplaying the difficulties and overplaying the successes compared to heterosexual couples. Let me open up the phone lines for listeners to weigh in. Is this a no-brainer to you? Is this what you would expect? One of the arguments that you could make, if two women are going to go to the trouble of having one of the partners artificially inseminated, going through the process of choosing to have a child, even though they may well encounter discrimination along the way, that they've thought this out, they're making a very strong commitment. There's no default parenting here because of peer pressure. They're doing it because they really want a child. So maybe to you this is a no-brainer that, yes, of course, if you've got a couple that has to jump through hoops to have a child, they're going to be much more sure of their commitment and in it much more significantly for the long haul. Do you question the results from this or the methodology of this longitudinal study and the results that come from it? We're at 866-893-KPCC, 866-893-5722. You can also share your comments or questions on the AirTalk page at kpcc.org. Coming up a little bit later in the hour, Gavin Newsom, the mayor of San Francisco and the Democratic Party nominee to be California's next lieutenant governor. It's AirTalk on KPCC. This is Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. We're talking about a longitudinal study looking at lesbian parents and what, at least in this study, show even more successful outcomes for the kids than looking at similar demographic heterosexually produced children. Love to hear your thoughts on the study at 866-893-KPCC. Dr. Nanette Gartrell with us. She's both at UCLA Law School and at UC San Francisco School of Medicine. She's the principal investigator of the Longitudinal Lesbian Family Study and lead author of this study. We're at 866-893-KPCC or comment on the AirTalk page at kpcc.org. I wanted to ask you one thing about the women involved. Looking at some of the couples, were there in some of the partners women who you'd say provided more of a typical sort of masculine, physically active sort of presence with a partner who was less so? Did you see a lot of diversity in sort of the roles of the lesbian couples?
We consistently saw that the mothers were very committed when they were in couples to sharing the responsibilities 50-50. So that was something that they were very attentive to at the beginning, and they continue to be attentive to whether they are still together or not. Even those in which the families, the mothers have broken up, they 71% of our couples are continuing to share custody, which is really quite a high percentage, and that also has a very big impact on the outcome after parents split up if both parents continue to be involved in the child's life.
Catherine in Venice wondering, what about the gender of the kids? Did you see a difference between how boys and girls did?
Well, the way the test is set up is you compare girls to girls and boys to boys. So we compared the girls to the girls and the boys to the boys, and the summary that you gave at the beginning applies to both. But any listener can go to the website, pediatrics.org, put in my name, spelled G-A-R-T-R-E-L-L, and pull pull up the study and look at the details. There are a lot of details, which I think we don't really have time to go over today.
All right. Nathan Riverside says, you know, for these couples, they got to choose a sperm donor. So isn't that a factor that, you know, you can have high selectivity to get very strong genes?
Well, you know, it's very, very different now from what it used to be. This is 1986 we're talking about, the very beginning of the sperm banks being available to lesbians. And at that time, and first of all, half of, or so of our mothers used known donors, and the other half used unknown donors. But at that time, the prospective mothers got very limited information filled out by a piece of paper, on a piece of paper by men who sometimes were being paid for sperm. So they were asked their education level, their medical history, and they wrote that down. And there wasn't an internet to check any of that. So some investigative reporters have looked at the veracity of those reports in terms of who the individuals actually were, and it didn't always match up. But I would say on the other side, you know, certainly these women were interested in having healthy, well-adjusted children based on anything in terms of a genetic factor, but so is every heterosexual in the world. I mean, we look for spouses, partners, as co-parents who are healthy, attractive, funny, athletic. I mean, that's what everyone's after.
But not everybody gets that.
Yeah.
That's obviously, you know, unless it's a Garrison Keillor kind of everybody above average world. But on the issue also of comparing like with like, was the educational level standardized between the two groups so that you're comparing likes, and the regional concentration of the, so that, you know, you're not necessarily looking at urban versus non-urban, for example?
Well, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, then socioeconomic status, our group is very close to the normative group. In fact, theirs is slightly higher in socioeconomic status, and that's the thing that's most highly associated with outcomes. I'm not aware of studies that report on psychological adjustment of children in relation to where the parents live, but certainly the factor of discrimination is different, so that you would expect children growing up in more rural areas who are raised by same-sex parents, where maybe it's a more conservative community, would have a harder time because they would experience more discrimination.
Let's take call from Carlos in Whittier. Welcome to Air Talk.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm a single gay dad. I adopted my children back in the 1960s and 70s, so my oldest son now is 43, and I have two beautiful granddaughters. So I've been involved with these issues for many years. In fact, now I'm dealing with issues like getting questions from my granddaughters like, Grandpa, why doesn't Daddy have a mommy? I think most people would consider my children to be successful gay parenting stories. But the reality is that there's a big hole in their lives. They've never had a mother. And I've seen this with other kids, and this isn't going to show up on testing. It's just something that they live with. In my opinion, having gone through this whole process, my kids really missed out by not having a mom and a dad in more of a traditional family, and I don't know if that's related to DNA or because of all the social pressures. We need to eliminate this discrimination so that, you know, my granddaughters will think of Grandpa as a pioneer rather than an aberration. But that's my observation.
Well, and it's an interesting point. It's one of the ones I was sort of getting at with the gender roles of the lesbian couple, whether one identifies as more masculine, the other as more perhaps traditionally female. Because when you have two different genders in a marriage raising a child, you typically have two kind of different societal roles. And, of course, those can flip in marriages. We have a lot more variety in how those are expressed today than they ever used to be, and so many couples are not traditional, but still there's dominant within our culture gender roles, and those haven't completely broken down. So let's ask our guest, Dr. Nanette Gartrell, about that issue.
Well, we do know that the ability to nurture children is not gender-based, and
this isn't about nurturing, though.
nurturing children.
This is about,
not
this about yeah, this is about modeling, though, not
right.
nurturing.
Right, and so I think the question is, what are we saying that different genders uniquely bring to child rearing? I think that's the question I would ask at this point.
Yeah, and
is there something? And let me
All of us have to react to in some way gender roles that still exist in our society. We're not in a gender neutral society, so all of us exist either sort of within the pocket of what the gender role expectations are, or in distinction to that, outside the pocket, in that we're somehow don't fit into that role. And in kids seeing that played out within their family, either in or outside that pocket, and I think that's a little bit of what Carlos is talking about, there is kids experience that and see the world sort of as the genders relate to it up close and personally.
Well, and these mothers said from the very beginning that it was very important to them to have wonderful, loving men involved in their children's lives, and made a major effort to include such men in their lives. And we talked about that throughout the 24 years. And if people want to look back at some of the earlier reports on how they went about that, we have quite a bit of evidence about that as well. But the fact is, these children are not raised in a vacuum, and they go to schools, and they have male teachers, and they have male community leaders, and so on. And so it's, they're exposed to the world up close and consistently. That includes people of all genders and all ways of relating to children.
All right, let me share some comments on the AirTalk page at kpcc.org. Peter wondering whether there were other means of assessing adjustments in overall health of children outside of parental input, such as teachers, peers, and the community.
Well, one of the most valid sources is the adolescents themselves. We have an enormous amount of data from them that we have not yet analyzed. And it appears now that the world is waiting for those data, and we're working on it as rapidly as possible. The papers will be forthcoming as soon as we can finish the analyses, write them, submit them, have them rigorously peer-reviewed, and that's a long process,
okay.
And then they will be published, and then much more will be forthcoming.
All right. We got a ton of listener comments already on the AirTalk page at kpcc.org. We invite you as a listener to check that out. Sandy in Brentwood is a grandmother of kids who came both from heterosexual and same-sex parented families, and said they're all the same. There's no difference based on the sexuality of the parents. Stacy in Fullerton said she was surprised to learn her child's friend had lesbian parents. No different in her life. Parents are great. Share your comments on the AirTalk page at kpcc.org. Dr. Gartrell, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.